Bless you, John. Preach the word.
Thank you, brother. Thank you very much, Pastor Phil and Grace Church. We've just been partners together for so many years, and I thank God for that. And, you know, don't you get the feeling that time is running out? Don't you feel like that? I remember in 1987, there was a book called 87 Reasons Why the Lord Was Coming Back in 1987. Now, there's at least still 2010 reasons why he should be coming back this year. And I think the point is, what we're going to do, we better do now. And we just thank God for your partnership. And what a blessing to fellowship with you. Thank you for just making us feel right at home when we come in. And just to enjoy the music together. And to be in a church where the Word of God is central, it's really a blessing to be here. And I'm sure it is for you, too. And what I'd like to do this morning is I want to show some just an update of what the Lord is doing in Asia. And it was great to see what's happening in South America and hear about Australia. And the Lord is just working everywhere. Don't you know that? If you tune in to headline news and other network news, you're not going to get the real story. You got to get it from eyewitnesses who are there seeing what God is doing. And that's 8 or 9 minutes long. And then I'd like us to look at the Word of God. And if you were just to get ready for that, if you take your Bible and take that handout that's in your bulletin, it's just got a short outline here that I want to cover quickly this morning. And these verses really need more study and more in-depth look than we will have time to do today. And I really encourage you to get a pen, a piece of paper, and kind of fill in the answers as we'll go through that in just a moment. And if you want to get your Bible and turn it to Genesis chapter 6 and get just everything ready. So I'd like to give you an update of what the Lord is doing in Asia. And then we'll take a look at the Word of God. And it's just something about seeing things. It's so great that we can bring video and pictures back from other parts of the world and see it. You know, the Bible says when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. And I believe as we see what God is doing, we can unite together to see more happen while we have time. So I believe that the video is ready. If you guys want to flip that on, and I'm just going to narrate this. We do have some prayer cards in the back, and we would appreciate you getting those. Our story begins, as far as my story, in 1972 when the Lord called my parents to the Philippines. I was 16 years old at that time, and the Philippines at that time was not a receptive country to the gospel. And that has changed dramatically. I saw them build a strong church in Cebu City, the second largest city, and it was very difficult. And as a young person, I would just see a world in need. In fact, the places where you can't find churches, places where you cannot find the gospel, you have the greatest human needs, and the gospel changes everything. You would see religion, you would see all these things being worshipped, but it was superstition, and the gospel would change their lives. And some years later, my wife and I and our three kids, the Lord would lead us back to the Philippines, and we would be planting churches there, partnering with pastors. We were based in Manila for many years, and just millions of people there in a very small area. And we have as a mission to plant churches, to multiply those churches, and to be involved in strategic outreach and the multiplication of disciples. It was just a great blessing to be able to personally plant churches, five that we were able to personally plant in Metro Manila by leading people to Christ, discipling them one-on-one, seeing them multiply, reach other people with the gospel, and some buildings that we were involved in building for some of our key churches, and even some medical outreach, drawing people to the gospel. There are just so many needs in the world, isn't there? And God just worked in many ways. And it's a great time to be in the Philippines during the 90s. There were so many pastors ready to start churches. We partnered with many, many of them. And even now they are sending their own missionaries and planting churches. The churches we've started have started five, and we partner with 10 to 20 in the Philippines every year. since 1987. I hope you can connect that that's part of your investment. As more churches were started, we began to do more discipleship training for the purpose of stronger and more strategic outreach. This will be a meeting of training 3,000 disciplers in Metro Manila for the purpose of giving out 2 million tracts. And the way the tracts were constructed, they would help benefit over 250 churches around Metro Manila. Many people received the Lord in those over 2 years after giving those out. Decisions were still coming in. So we really thank God for that. And that's because of our partnership together. Now, let me kind of change gears to what the Lord has been doing in China. As you know, in 1949, communist rule took over. Many, many Christians suffered and were martyred. Many pastors were killed and Bibles were even burned, and the church went underground. And house churches and very secret, even to be caught with a Bible during certain times would mean death or imprisonment. Very dark time for Christians there. Now, you move forward in time and our country asked China, would you allow Bibles again? A president, Jimmy Carter, went to visit. Allow churches to open and allow American missionaries to return. Well, they went for the first two of those after a period of time. And in 1985, they opened churches again. At first, very few went. They thought it might be a trap. But today, churches are swelling. And they found in 1985, it had grown to 50 million Christians, even during that very dark time. These are some pictures of churches today. They estimate today 120 million. And China is the number one source for printing Bibles in the world. In other words, God's hand has been at work. And the doors have opened. About 10 years ago, Chinese in the Philippines that we've been training said, hey, you need to come with us. And they have family still in mainland China. And these first disciplers would take us in and we began to see the need. We began to see what could be done, what couldn't be done. And every year it gets a little bit better. Manila is only 2 hours by air to mainland China. And I've been able to preach. There are many ways legally to be able to minister there. We were able to train, we were able to disciple, really see what we could do and what God wanted us to do. Here's just a short testimony.
Spending 10 days here in China, and the last few days here have been in discipleship training with John Honeycutt and his gang. I think that what they are doing with discipleship is the one way to truly grow the church.
We've had many visitors, over 1,000, and to kind of update you right now, China has rules for its registered churches. Only the Chinese can pastor the church legally right now. The government views Catholics as non-Christians, Christians as not Catholics. They have many divisions about that. They don't allow charismatic churches. They don't allow Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are illegal churches in China. They have rules that the pastors cannot preach against the government. But however, they do have a rule that pastor must only preach from the Bible. we kind of need that rule today. There's a lot of things we can't do. There's a lot of things we can do, and we can witness. We can disciple. There's no rule against one-on-one. We can train leaders that the Lord connects us to. We can partner to plant new churches, which is happening now. And we can still plant churches in Hong Kong. And so 3 years ago, the Lord led us to relocate there, and they changed rules in the mainland that the pastors can easily come to China or to Hong Kong. And we were able to plant a church there. It's very, very slow in seeing people come to Christ in Hong Kong. You go 2 hours from there and just hundreds are coming to Christ. But we thank God for the Faith Baptist Church that was started in Hong Kong. And we do plan to start more churches there, have a team of disciplers. And we are able to bring our partners from there to Hong Kong to train them. And it's taken some time. It's taken about 10 years to really find out who's who, who's straight on the Bible, straight on salvation, who wants to multiply disciples, multiply churches. And this year, 9 new churches are starting, and they're all house churches. The pastors are putting their neck on the line. Here's just a testimony again about that.
And we have 9 French churches represented in this 3 days training. We thank the Lord for all he has provided to us, and many are very excited, and they find...
We've tried all kinds of ways of starting churches in China, and this is the way that's working great for us. We call it a church planner's package. We give the pastor 100 Bibles, we give him 100 discipleship lessons, and an industrial strength washing machine. He hires some local people, gets some income coming in while he starts the church, and that can support him. It's very difficult to move money in and around China. And this way they get in, they're supported, and it's back to Chinese laundry, folks. It's the answer for support. And they are all doing great. We have 40 on a waiting list. Maybe you want to pray about some of those. And it moves them in the place they can be there. And they again, are very dedicated. They are putting their life on the line by doing this. Their freedom on the line. And I want you to pray about them. We are going to plant more churches in Hong Kong. That's a key place in Asia. We do plan, with God's help, to plant more churches there. This map shows in southern China where we've been concentrating. And the 9 new churches, they all felt called to go along what we used to call the Silk Road. Very few Christians in that area. But the Lord is also opening doors up and around Shanghai with different types of churches. We do ask that you pray. We do ask that you continue to be involved. There's people that we see. There might be 120 million Christians in China, but that's 5 or 6% of the entire population. We're just getting started. And people are looking for the gospel. You witness to 100 people. You have 100 people at a service in China. You're expecting 30, 35, 40 of them to come to Christ if they're all unbelievers. And they're searching for the gospel. So I hope you look at this as the investment you're making through us. And they do estimate 40,000 a week are coming to Christ in China, probably more than that. Many, many churches are starting. And I don't know how many Chinese feel the burden already to go to other countries and places that would be very difficult for us to minister. But they know how to do it. And it's taken time, but we believe that it's really ready to explode. So thank you. Thank you for praying and partnering with us. Get one of our prayer cards on the table back there, please. Every obstacle we've faced could only have been, was only solved by prayer. Amen. It wasn't a checkbook that could solve the major obstacles that we faced. Only God can work in our partnership and working together. So please get this and pray for us. Let's remember, it's easy to remember the honey cuts, right? Somebody says, honey, cut the grass. Soon, honey, cut the turkey, or honey, cut it out, you know. Then you just automatically think of us, send up a lightning prayer. And we would really appreciate that. We really need it. Well, please take your Bible and look over there at Genesis. And this is more like a message that is like a word study in the Bible. The word look. And in Genesis chapter 6, verse 12, it's the first time that this word look shows up in the Bible. And it's God looking. And we can see, unfortunately, that it is a negative verse that we would look at. And when we say to look back, we can say that we're looking back at the problem of sin. You want to write that in there. And then I want to read the verse here. We're going to look back and we're going to see the problem of sin in Genesis 6:12. And this is God looking, and it's the first time this word look is used in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, when that word look is used, it's the context of Jesus is talking about that he would be betrayed, he would be killed, he would be then rise again the third day. And Peter takes Jesus aside, and the Bible says Jesus was rebuked by Peter, saying, "Don't say that." And then Jesus looks at his disciples. It's the first time the word look is used in the New Testament. He looks at them, and then he says to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Well, the first time it's used in the New Testament. Here's the first time it's used in the Old Testament, in the Bible, where it says that God looked upon the earth, And indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Unfortunately, we are born into this world as sinners, And for it to be corrupted, mean it's just all ruined. That's where death comes in. That's why we have death in the world today. And this problem of sin comes from the fact that it's all corrupted before we even got here. First man and woman had the ability to have a freedom of will and freedom of choice, and we are born from them, and we are born into this world as sinners. And when God looks down on the earth, He sees that it is corrupted by sin. But fortunately, the verses following that, He gives Noah an instruction to build an ark to provide salvation. And if we look at another verse in Numbers 21, verse 8, we see another verse where the word look shows up. And it says that the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. What happened was God's people were just denying Him and rebelling against Him. And God sent these fiery serpents, and if it would bite the people, they would die. But God told, as it says here, He told Moses, put a pole up, put one of the fiery serpents on it, a brass fiery serpent, and all you had to do was just look at it and you'll live. And it would be a picture of the Savior who would come and take all the sin of the world upon us and be sin for us. And all we have to do is look to Him for salvation and give our life to Him, and we will live. Not only we will have eternal life, but we'll have real life and real purpose here in this world. So not only take a look at the problem of sin, but look at the salvation provided. And if you're here today and Christ is not your Savior, you've not given your life to Him and asked Him to cleanse you of your sin and turn your life over to Him, you're fortunate you're in a church today that can show you from the Bible how to do that. And we'll give you an opportunity to do that in a moment. Well, look at the next verse in Luke chapter 9, verse 62. Now, this is a wild chapter in the Bible. 62 verses. And in this chapter, there's so many things that have happened. Jesus has given power to His disciples. He's feeding the 5,000 in this chapter. He asked them, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of God. You have the transfiguration and a voice out of heaven. You have the disciples fighting over who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. You've got Jesus ready to go to Jerusalem, but the Samaritans, those that are half Jews and half Gentile, don't want Jesus to go there. And the disciples ask Jesus, can we call down fire from heaven and burn them all up? I mean, it's a wild chapter. You've also got towards the end of this chapter where three people, one of them comes and says to Jesus, three people come to Jesus. One says, I'll follow you. But Jesus says to him, OK, but understand, we have nowhere we're going to stay. We don't have some kind of home base or headquarters. The foxes have holes, but we don't. And there's no record that he followed him. You have another person that Jesus said, follow me. And the guy says, OK, but first, let me do this. And apparently he didn't. And there's another one that says, Lord, I'll follow you, but first I want to do this. And apparently he didn't follow. And then this verse, Luke 9:62, is in the Bible of Jesus saying, speaking to his disciples. He says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What we'd say, this is what is required, the service required. I'll tell you, it's been amazing working with the Chinese, because these are people that have seen Bibles burn. They've seen pastors put on top of Bibles and burned along with them. They've seen Christians jailed for just having a page of the Bible. And those things have pretty much passed. But the spiritual war is always there. And when we first started going into China, their discipleship lessons were about 6 inches thick. Half of it was pages of the Bible that they've been able to collect, and other sections of it were some teaching and doctrine. But then there were quite a few sections about what to do if the police arrest you for being a Christian, and the 10 lies they're going to tell you about Jesus Christ. They're going to tell how to take the pain when you're beaten for being arrested as being a Christian, or how to die faster if you need to. That was their discipleship lessons. We brought in our materials because it was really, there's a discipleship system built into it. But I told them, you keep those around so people can understand where you have come from and the sacrifice that's taken. Now, I don't know if in our country we'll need discipleship lessons like that, but maybe. Maybe. 20 years ago, we just said, we'll never need lessons like that, but maybe. Maybe. But the important thing is that when we put our hand to the plow, we don't look back. It's a sold out commitment. There were several times when crowds were following the Lord Jesus Christ, and both times he always cut those crowds down to a smaller size, to those who were really sold out. And the reason he did was because he wanted to make sure that you and I would get the gospel. And he needed people who would never look back. So in this first point of looking back at the sin, at the salvation, and we look at the service required, we look back and see our salvation. But once you give your life to Christ to be his disciple and his follower, never look back. Never look back. Well, let's move on. I want to just sort of look at the point of to also look around, to look around. And the first point would be to let's look around at the success of the gospel. At the success of the gospel. In fact, if you could back that up one slide, please. In 1790, it's estimated that there was one Bible-believing Christian for every 49 people in the world. 1980, one for 16. By 2006, they're estimating one for every 9 persons in the world. Now, if we just fill our time with news from the networks, as I mentioned, we're going to think we're losing this thing. In 1974, it was measured that only about half of the world had accessibility to the gospel or to a local church that could provide the gospel for us. Now, they estimate today 2/3 of the world can get to the gospel even more. There are many ministries now that just they spread out the workload, but they try to just answer email from closed countries that they have questions about Jesus Christ and being a true Christian. And people emailing back and moving those things. The accessibility to the gospel has increased and is increasing. I think about our Chinese partners. It's just amazing to me. Even some of the new Christians, they've been a Christian a year, less than 2 years, and they already saying, you know, if I cannot witness like I want to, if I cannot witness and this government will not let me witness, I want to leave and go where I can witness. And it could be that in Asia, that the Chinese will be the most powerful force, mission force in recent church history. It's possible. And the places they could go are places that are very difficult for us to go and stay. They estimate that 3,000 churches a week worldwide are starting. As I mentioned in the video, 40,000 a week are estimated coming to Christ in China. And I really think it's more than that. 18,000 a week in Africa. 500 churches a month are starting in China. No doubt about that. And yet, there are areas where there is no gospel witness at all. You want to write down not only the success of the gospel, I want us to notice from the Bible the short time that we have. We won't take time to look at 2 Timothy chapters 3 through 4. But if you will just circle those and check those out later. And in Luke chapter 21, he is describing all the events that would be leading up to the tribulation and the great time where judgment will come upon the earth. And in Luke 21:28, he says, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. It's all the things we begin to see in our world today. You know, we base out of Florida, and the last 3-4 months really been interesting to be in Florida because of the oil spill that was out there. You know, remember that? That's kind of history already, right? Who knows? And I had just people that You know, we didn't even, we knew that they attended church, but some people, acquaintances we know, you know, people might cut your hair or other things. They all had questions about whether this had something to do with biblical judgment in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? Now, you probably weren't worried about that too much up here in Iowa. But the scenario down there was a hurricane come in. It'd be spinning so fast on top of the oil slick, and then it'd just start raining toxic oil on top of Florida. I don't know. I mean, it sounded like it could happen. Who knows that what happened this year in the Gulf doesn't have some kind of play in the future, in prophecy, in the tribulation. Who knows? The point is that we have a short amount of time, and as we begin to see things come and things really just to be difficult, we know that it's time to start looking up. Don't look down too much. Don't look around too much around you. Just look around and see that we have a short amount of time. Let me just kind of give you a couple things to think about from this will be from 2 Timothy 3 and 4. And just to kind of summarize it for you, you can write down some of these if they speak to you from. When we talk about being alive at the end of the church age, which I believe we are, that the rapture is any time, any second now. I don't know if we'll finish this service today before the Lord might come. But as we wait for His coming, I think it's important that we remember to keep drawing people to Christ while we have time. The time is short. You have an opportunity coming up in a few weeks if the Lord doesn't come for us. To draw people to the Lord. We have to avoid a lifestyle of uselessness. We have to anticipate persecution. We have to associate with spiritual people. We better abide in the Word of God and continue to go and send the gospel. All those things there, you know what all those things are? They're characteristics of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. One who put his hand to the plow, put his hand to the work, and not going to look back. And folks, it's going to get even crazier out there, isn't it? If the Bible is true, and it is, and it's never missed a prophecy, then it's going to get even more strange. But if you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to have that peace within you, knowing that all of this is working towards God's will. You know, nothing makes sense, and really hardly anything makes sense. Would you agree with that? Unless you want a one world government with a one world leader, then it all makes sense. Right? Which the Bible explains what we see around us. Well, not only do we want to look around and see that we have a short time, we want to look around and the success of the gospel. We want to see the souls around us. But we also need to look from above. We need to look from above. That's probably even more important today than at any other time. In other words, to look and see God's perspective. And this is in John, the Bible verse is John 4:35. And Jesus, again, just looking at the crowds, looking at the people. And the context is he had spent 28 verses in dealing with the Samaritan woman. And the disciples wanted him to come and eat. But he said, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. There's something more important than that. There's something that's satisfying. And he's looking and seeing how this one woman would go and bring other people to hear Jesus Christ. And in John 4:35, he says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. In other words, there are people all around you ready to be invited. People all around you and I that their heart is receptive, no matter what they say no matter the answers that they give. The crazy thing about being in American culture is so many people have been discipled to give certain answers to you, right? I mean, Oprah discipled them, or, you know, some other people on TV, right? How many of you ever heard somebody say, hey, I'm really glad that works for you? implying it may not work for me or anybody else, right? You heard somebody say that? You have other people just say all kinds of things that they've heard on television. And I think the most important thing is to know that in our culture, don't believe a word they say. They're just repeating something they heard on TV or the radio, right? Their heart might be seeking. But if we are going to have a perspective to look from above, what does Jesus see? He sees harvest time. You may think Des Moines and the surrounding area is not, there's not people to harvest, souls to harvest, to draw to Christ. When the Lord looks at it, He sees them all. And He's also working with us. And His Spirit is drawing them. I think the next point is important for us today as we are at the end of the last days. We want to look at the hidden reality in 2 Corinthians 4:18. God's Word really reveals what is really true. And what we're starting to see in our world today is the collision of two realities. The reality of a dying world and darkness with the reality of God's love and the true light of what is really real. It's clashing together. Don't you feel it? And the Bible tells us, make sure we look at what's real. That we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The souls of people are eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Our fellowship together as Christians is eternal. And then the last point, we would see that heaven is near. Luke 21:28, we saw that verse where when we see these things, that we know that we are to lift up our heads. And in 2 Titus 2:13, that we are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We want to take a look back. We want to look around, but we better make sure we have a perspective from above. Could we bow our heads, please? Maybe you're here this morning. You've never put your trust in Jesus Christ. And the time is short. We want to give you an opportunity to respond. That's why this church is here. That's why all the ministries of this church are working and doing their best and sending the gospel to other places, is so that everyone would know you have a way of escape and that Jesus Christ has provided a way of salvation for you. And in just a moment, we'll invite you to come here and meet us at the front. Let us open the Word of God. You can give your life to Christ and have eternal life and a purposeful life now. Or maybe you're someone, a Christian, that needs to be discipled. You're someone who needs to follow Christ no matter what. Maybe the things you see in the world are very disturbing to you. And even fear is what you feel. This morning, come and take the role of a disciple, a true follower of Christ, that you'll follow Him no matter what. Maybe the Lord is speaking to you about some other things in your life. I'm going to ask us all to stand, and in just a moment, give the service to Pastor Phil and ask him to close this as he sees fit. Or if the Lord is working in your life this morning, I encourage you to respond. Do you need to receive the Lord? Do you need to give your life to follow Him completely? Or is other things the Lord is working in your life? Just respond to Him. Pastor Phil.
Would you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment? Are you here today and you say, boy, He was speaking to me. I hear the call going out to come to Jesus. Maybe you are well versed in churchianity, but you really don't know Christ. I want to ask you, do you know Him as your Lord and Savior today? Is there anyone here that would say, I don't know Him, but I want to know Him. He's calling me. I believe He died. Jesus died for me. The Father sent the Son, and He died for my sins. I believe that, and I want to believe. I want to receive Him. He's calling me. If you're here and you're like that this morning, let me pray for you. Just raise your hand. I want to call. I want Jesus to save me. I want to be His child. Are you here and you're like that? Just raise your hand. Just raise it up. God bless you, ma'am. I see you. Anybody else? Just put your hand up. Anyone? I want to pray for you. Anyone? Oh, Father, I come to you in humble submission to the power of your will and the moving of your hand. And I pray right now, Father, for these that are in our presence that don't know you as Lord and Savior. I pray that even today that they would not say no to the calling of the Holy Spirit. Who knows what tomorrow may hold? May they come and trust you today as Lord and Savior. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to ask you Christians that are here this morning, did you hear the verse? Luke 9:62, Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." Can I say something to you this morning? We win. Did you hear that? You listen to headline news, as he said, or Fox News or CNN, and you think that the devil is on top and he's winning. No, no, no. We win. We win. This is God's world. Jesus is the Lord. He is the King, the Sovereign of all the earth. He is going to reclaim this entire universe for His glory. But if you put your hand to the plow and turn back, are you engaged, believer? Are you engaged, believer, in looking back at the salvation of your soul, that God saved you from your sin, looking around at the conditions of your friends and neighbors, and then looking for the Lord to come back? Why don't you come and let's pray together? There's plenty of time this morning. John's not long-winded like me. Let's use our altar. Come down. Use our prayer benches at the front. Come. I invite you, Christian. Come and say, "Lord, I don't want to just be a nominal Christian, a minimal Christian. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to be empowered by His Spirit." I invite you to come and let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to empower us. Let's ask the Lord to fill us. Let's ask the Lord to make us what He wants us to be. Come, let's pray together. The one that raised their hand saying they want to come to Jesus, can I invite you to come? Meet me here. Would you just come? God bless you. Let me have a dear lady to come and share. Here's a couple of folks. I need a lady to come and share the gospel. Here's somebody else coming. Would you come? Here's somebody else who wants to come to Jesus. Could I have some helpers here? Right here, Maya. God bless you. Does anyone else? Do you want to come to Jesus today? Just come. Christians, you pray. Pray that God would work in hearts. Pray for your own soul. Pray for your own spiritual condition. Pray for yourself. Pray that God would motivate you to live this life. Church, I prayed for you today. Some of your elders were here early, and we went around and we touched every door that you came in. Everybody in this room passed through a doorway where pastors and elders and Christian saints prayed for the power of God to work in your life. We prayed for you. We prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit to be real. We prayed for you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. We prayed for you to know the power of Jesus' resurrection. I'm praying for you today if you're in an addiction or a habit that you've not been able to break. We prayed specifically for you to be filled with Holy Spirit power, to be able to partner with that Holy Spirit within you to say no to those habits in your life. We prayed for you today. We prayed for the young people in this church today that are wondering what they're going to do with their lives. We pray that God would call out young men and women from among us to give themselves fully to the Lord for His use, be it missionary, be it pastor, be it whatever. We pray that God would touch you. We pray for dads to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and grandfathers to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and moms and grandmothers. And we prayed for Christians to be filled with the Holy Spirit today. This is real. We've been enraptured and thrilled lifting our voices in song, but now it's time to think. It's time to think. What do you really want in this life? Is it all about this world? Is it about collections? Is it about something you can show your grandchildren that might be in a box or in a closet or sitting on a hill or in a bank account? Are you investing yourself in the kingdom of God? Gary, come over here and lead us in prayer as we close this time together. Ask the Lord's Spirit to continue on.
Father, we love you, and we thank you that you have met with us this morning from the very start of the service, the songs of praise to you. And we just thank you that we had a chance to worship you in spirit and truth, and even the little slideshows and the missionaries visiting with us, God, you are active. The Lord Jesus is building his church. And Father, we rejoice in that. But this is the place that I call home and these people call home. And God, we just thirst for you. We just pray that you would meet with us each and every day as we walk in our lives. May we take what we have heard today, and may it strengthen us to live for you, to bring glory for you this week. Father, just move in the second service. Just strengthen John as he preaches again, and just use him in a mighty way. God, just continue to bless us and use this church for your glory. For you are the one true God, the God that is worthy of all our praise. Amen.
Be seated briefly. Would you please take out your care card and let us know how we may pray for you today? And then if you're our guest, please mark that you're our guest and that you were with us. Thank you for coming. Don't play hide and seek. Let us know you're here after the service. I'd love to shake your hand right through those doors. And then go to Guest Central. They have a gift for you. And we're just so thankful that you are with us today. John, I want to thank you for the challenge from God's Word. Isn't it wonderful to have God's representative with us here today? Amen. And I just... Boy, every time you come, you always encourage me, because sometimes all we get is the bad news, and sometimes we think, well, there's just nothing happening out there. But God's got his people. God's doing his work. And it's just wonderful to know what God is doing. Now, on October the 17th, we have Each One Reach One Sunday. And you might say, why are we doing this? What is this all about? Is there a video up there today? I don't know if it's up there. Is that next week? Would you show that real quick? John, I'm thrilled with what God is using you and your people to do in China. But I have to believe that the majority of these people have this as their mission field. You go out those doors. You go to your workplace. You sit down at the table with family members. You meet with your friends. You work with all of your associates. These are continuing relationships. Are you listening? Lifelong continuing relationships to whom you have been sent. Let the light shine. Each one of you, reach one of them. Pray for them. Bring them. Let them hear these testimonies. Watch what God has done. Let us preach the word. October 17th. Do you need to talk to a pastor? We're ready for you. There'll be some wait at the front. You say, I just got questions. I've got needs. I need to talk to a pastor. We'll be right here. Do you need to be baptized? Step forward and say, I'm a believer in Jesus and I profess it. I want to profess my faith. I have believed. It's time for me to let it be known. Come, let us know. Write it on your care card. We'll be in contact with you. Do you want to become a part of Grace Church? Indicate that on your care card. And if you want any kind of counseling or spiritual help, please indicate that on your care card. And now let's have those care cards, if you would, please. You can check them quickly. And please pass those to the aisles. Ushers, would you come forward and pick them up? There is a very important teacher and group leader meeting in between the two services right back here in room 117. Gene Merrifield, are you in here? Where are you? Raise your hand. Gene, will you be my representative in there? I can't go in there. Would you go back here in 117 for about 10 minutes? Thank you. Gene's in my group. She's famous. And I won't tell you why she's famous. But anyway, so she is going to represent my group. And you group leaders, please be there. Or have a group representative be back there. Group events begin next Sunday. And we're going to have a wonderful time together. Stand up if you would, please. It's good to be in the Lord's house. Now, that was all the stuff we wanted to say to you that you got to stop and think about. It takes no thought to eat a donut. Go right through those doors. Go into the Family Life Center. Help yourself. If you have a spiritual need, we're right here. We'd love to talk to you.